The State Affairs Committee will now come to order. Members, please be sure to speak into your microphone during roll call. And with that, Tony, will you be so kind as to call our roll?
Chair Masullo.
Here.
Representatives Altman, Bartleman.
Here.
Buchanan. Chambliss.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Drake.
Here.
Fisher.
Here.
Gialombardo.
Here.
Goff Marcille.
Here.
Hardy.
Here.
Hinson.
Here.
Joseph.
Here.
McFarland. McFarland. Mooney.
Here.
Did you say Woodson?
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Payne.
Here.
Roth.
Here.
Smith C.
Here.
Smith
here.
D.
Oh.
Here.
Here.
We're all here.
Quite a few.
Stevenson.
Here.
Toledo. Woodson.
Here.
Zika.
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Tori. I want to remind everyone that the House has implemented detailed procedures designed to make our meeting safe during the present time. Audience members and presenters approaching the podium to speak must keep their masks on while addressing the committee. This is to ensure your safety and the safety of those speaking after you. I also want to remind members to speak into your microphones with the buttons on in voting to ensure our administrative assistant hears your vote. Please be sure to silence your cell phones and other electronic devices, including your laptop. Keep them on silent. Members, today we have several bills and we hope to get through all of them. First up today will be CS HB 59 by Chair McLean, Growth Management. Rep. McLean, you're welcome and authorized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, it's my pleasure to be here and present House Bill 59. Mr. Chairman, there is a strike call. Do you want me to present the bill and then we'll go to the strike?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, House Bill 59, just a little bit of history. I've been working on this for a few years. We've tried to, we've certainly done a lot of work with our local governments, making sure that, trying to ensure that there are no financial implications to them. And so this is a product of that. It actually passed through the House and Senate last year. There was a provision in here that the governor didn't particularly like, and so he vetoed the bill. We've removed that part, and so what we have now is this would require local governments to include a private property rights element in their comprehensive plan by specified dates, allows the parties to a development agreement to amend or cancel the agreement without the consent of other property owners, specifies that development agreements for certain developments of regional impact may be amended using the processes adopted by local governments. It requires the Florida Department of Transportation when selling property to provide a right of first refusal to the property's prior owner. The bill provides a declaration that the act fulfills an important state interest. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Rep. McLean. Members, we're in questions on the bill. Questions on the bill. Rep. Altman, you're recognized.
I'm just curious, what was the provision the governor didn't like?
There was, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman. You're recognized.
Thank you. There was a provision in here, and quite frankly, I'm not sure there was a local feud somewhere. It involved some boundary line. We had a provision in there about some boundary line stuff, and the governor didn't think it was appropriate, so he vetoed the bill.
You're recognized for follow-up.
So it sounds like that wasn't substantive to your bill. You still got what your original intent is for the bill?
Chairman.
You're recognized.
Thank you. That's correct. Thank you.
Rep. Joseph, you're recognized for a question?
And that then was Rep. my Hinson. Question. Thank
that
you,
was your
Mr.
question.
Chair.
Very good. Rep. Hinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And hello, Mr. McLean. Rep. McLean. This is usually a decision left to the local community or the municipality.
You're recognized to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The ability to actually write a property rights element, they could do that.
You have a
so
follow-up?
That's a maybe?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, I guess I'm not sure what question you're asking me. If you
I'm asking
it.
You, is this a local decision normally left to municipalities for their comprehensive plan contents?
Chairman.
You're recognized to answer.
No, it would not be. The adding an element was something that we would have to direct them to do at the state level because it's in state statute what the current elements are in a comprehensive plan.
Okay, so
Rep. Henson.
Thank you so much.
You're recognized for one follow-up.
I just want to make sure we're not preempting local home rule.
And you're recognized to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, ma'am, we are not. All we're directing them to do is to take into account that there are private property rights. We're saying this is what you must consider when you consider property rights along with the other 10 elements that would be in any comprehensive plan amendment decision that you would make. The local government is still going to make the decision.
Very good. Any further questions on the bill? All right. Rep. Hardy and then Rep. Bottleman. Rep. Hardy, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to get something clear, Representative, in this, about this bill. So there are several elements to a comp plan. This will be one of several elements to the comp plan. And seemingly, anything that's in a comp plan would have to harmonize with each other. And so the purpose of this element is not to, of the statute, is not to element, is not to elevate one aspect of a comp plan over the others, but to just add something for local governments to consider. Is that the gist?
You're recognized.
Thank you. That is correct.
Rep. Bartleman, do you have a question?
Yes, sir, Chair.
You're recognized.
I thought you were the veterans bill last committee. About this bill, let me ask my question, just one quick question. One of the concerns one of my cities had was, and I need you to address this, like, because it refers to in the language about the property rights supersede, there was a concern about the ability for someone to say, because there's language in here about the safety, for them to go outside of what the parameters are in code, like say construct a wall around their home, and then use the language in the bill that says, well, because it's for my safety. But even though that isn't what the rest of the community, that's not the community standard. So does this bill allow for that, or is there another way something like that can be enforced?
You're recognized to answer.
Rep. Bartleman, you might have to reframe that a little bit for me. I'm sorry. So all we're doing, and back to maybe Rep. Hardy's question, all we're doing is we're saying, so look, currently in the Constitution, it speaks to property rights. It says, so property rights are, you know, paramount right that we have in the state of Florida. Okay. What this does is it actually has to write it into the comp plan. You know, you're going to write it into the comp plan. Here's some things that are going to be required when you're making the decision along with the other 10 elements that are in any comprehensive plan amendment that you would have to make. There's a lot of case law out there, obviously, wrapped up around comprehensive plans and when those things are done. So one thing not to confuse too, I think, and maybe this is maybe the question you were asking me. You have two pieces. You have the comprehensive plan, and then you have zoning. First step is to determine whether the piece of property is even could even be used for what someone is asking you to do with it. In other words, I had a question from a member earlier today. He asked me. He said, "Would this allow someone to get an approval for a?" A gas well to be drilled in downtown Miami? Probably the local government guys would say, you know what, that doesn't really fit in with our comp plan because we're building high rises down in Miami to meet the needs of our residential folks. Out in Suwanee County, that might be a whole different conversation. And those, they may say, we think that's right. Again, in Miami, you would have a situation also, then you would move to zoning, and in zoning, that's mostly local government driven. The zoning process is local government driven, and a lot of that takes into account, can you build a wall? Can you do this? Can you do that? And so there's two pieces to land use. One is comprehensive plan. One is the zoning process.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Any further questions? Rep. Henson, one more bite of the apple there.
Thank you. So I'm looking at the analysis, and it has elements with the bullets. But property rights is not one of those elements.
Yeah. What's your question, Rep. Henson?
I guess my question is, I asked you that question before, and you said it was one of the elements. So I guess I'm questioning, is it one of the elements or no?
Your recognized answer.
Currently, it is not one of the elements.
Thank
Yes, ma'am.
Rep. Goff Michelle, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. McLean. Currently, the Florida Constitution has very strong protective private property rights. Could you tell me the background of why we need this bill with all of our protections we already have in place?
And you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. I believe that it in the property rights element, I've probably said this on several occasions. So I was on local government for 12 years. So I have a pretty good idea of how this works. Most, unless you have an ideological or a philosophical belief in property rights, normally when you sit down to talk with your county attorney, whoever it is, about a property rights element that you're going to be taking up, it's just assumed that you understand that. And so for me personally, I think that if we add a property rights element, then that would be one of the ones. So you sit down with your county attorney, gives you a primer in local government. He says, hey, here's how comp plans work. Here's the thing you can't, there's things you can do, here's things you can't do. Property rights, so this new element, it would spell out and say, here's what the property rights are and here's what you should consider along with all of the other elements. This element doesn't supersede any of the other elements.
Very good. All right, Rep. Smith, go ahead. You're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, I'm trying to understand one of the sections of the bill just on what the potential impacts are and what it can mean. In Section 5, looks like around lines 166, it says, any such agreement or amendment may authorize the developer to exchange approved land uses subject to demonstrating that the exchange will not increase impacts to public facilities. So I guess I'm just curious, in layman's terms, what that means. Would this allow any developments that were already built out to be able to add new developments? Is that what the impact would be? Or what's the potential and really explanation behind that language?
And you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So Representative Smith, C. So this really has to do with developments of regional impact. So currently there's a lot of DRIs left in the state of Florida. They're not completely built out. So this would allow them to make some changes to their DRIs and still fit within, as long as it didn't impact the facilities of local government.
Rep. Hardy, one more question.
Thank you. On that language, do you read that to mean that if it is found that there is an impact on local public facilities, do you read that to mean that additional development would not be allowed, even in exchange for financial considerations that would allow you to address that impact?
And you're recognized.
In other words, an impact fee.
Yeah. Recognized to answer.
Thank you. I don't believe it would. In other words, I think what the issue would be, they couldn't just come in and say, hey, our DRI allows us to do X or whatever without taking into consideration that there is an impact on the local facilities. So because there are some DRIs that are left, I can tell you this, there are some that are left that have long-term agreements to them, and the impact has to be covered by local government. And so there are some of those that are left. In this case, you're still saying, yes, you could. What happens is you may have a 30,000-acre DRI. It may have 5,000 acres worth of residential or commercial in it, but you're finding out that you need more residential, so you want to come in and change that. That could or could not impact. It could, it might impact, or it might not. And so in this case, if it didn't, you could move forward with making that switch. If it did, then I think it reverts back to you have to figure out how to mitigate the impact.
And you're recognized for one more follow-up.
Thank you. And you could potentially mitigate that impact. Let me put it this way. Do you think that your bill would foreclose the possibility of a developer mitigating that impact by paying his way out of it, by paying an agreed-upon impact fee between him and the, you know, the local government that's in the area that's concerned about being on the hook for the impact.
And you recognize
that could be one. That could be one. That would be an agreement between the government and the developer.
All right. Okay. Seeing no further questions, Rep. McClain, you're recognized to explain your strike all amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The strike all basically lines us up with the Senate bill that was voted on, I believe, yesterday. One of the issues that we had, even from our last meeting, was there were questions about the financial impact to local government. We changed the dates on how some of this would work. We worked with the League of Cities. They agreed to this language, so we changed the language, and that beyond that, everything else is substantially the same.
All right. Any questions on the amendment? Members on the strike all amendment, any questions? All right. Seeing none, any public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none, debate on the amendment? Rep. Joseph, you're recognized in debate on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank the bill sponsor for working with the League of Cities to address that issue to minimize the financial impact on local governments. That's all. Thank you.
All right, any further debate? All right, all in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Show the motion carries, and the amendment is passed. Now we are on public testimony on the bill as amended. And we have Jane West, who is the Policy and Planning Director of Friends of Florida. She is a opponent to the bill. Is she here? I guess not. Gary Hunter, Association of Florida Community Developers. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman Rizzullo and committee members. Real quick, Representative Smith, Representative Hardy, you all ask a question about one of the most mundane pieces of Florida statute, so kudos to you all for picking up on that. That provision that's in Section 5 was in existing law when the DRI statute in 2018 was repealed. It was a mistake to repeal it. If you'll recall, at the time when that repeal occurred, it literally was a 70-page bill, about 60 pages of which were strike through. This portion was inadvertently stricken through. So as an attorney who represents clients who have DRIs, it has always been such that they could amend, exchange one land use. For example, I have 100 hotel units left in my DRI that I'd like to exchange for whatever the equivalent would be of a restaurant. And you come up with this matrix that says that the local government, by the way, has full authority to approve or not approve. It's 100% within the discretion of the local government. But if they agree to it, you exchange your 100 hotel units or however many it takes to get your 4,000 square feet of restaurant. And that's all that provision does. It is putting back into statute what was there and what was inadvertently deleted in 2018. And the discretion is 100% with the local government. And to your question, Rep. Hardy, they would absolutely, the state law requires them to. If there are additional impacts associated with it, those would have to be mitigated through concurrency obligations. But the key to those equivalency matrices are that there isn't an additional impact. So, you know, if it takes 70 hotel rooms to get 3,000 feet of restaurant, they're supposed to be equivalent. That's the point of an equivalency matrix. But that's all that provision does. And as to the property rights element issue, I will just remind the committee that Chapter 163 today, if you look at 163.3161 sub 10, another mundane provision of law, but an important one, has a robust property rights protection provision in it already. So all this is doing is putting meat on the bones and frankly providing guidance to local government on how they implement that obligation that already exists as part of their comprehensive plan. So on behalf of the Association of Florida Community Developers, we obviously appreciate your support of the bill. Thank Rep. McClain for doing the bill again, and happy to answer any other questions if you have any.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter.
Thank you.
Philip Suderman. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Rep. Arterman, you're recognized for a question. Didn't see.
Okay, so I'm going to try to ask you this. Maybe I'm not doing a very good job of framing this question. So there's a local government bill, a property rights language, and there's a model statement of the rights in the bill. And one of the bullets for the that says that the local government cannot override has to do with privacy and exclusion of others from property to protect his or her possessions and property. So if you're a home builder and you're building single family homes and that language is in the Bill of Rights and somebody wants to build a 6 feet wall around their home, because that language is in there, wouldn't that allow them to do that and the local government not have any say in that?
Mr. Hunter, you're recognized to answer that question if you're able.
Thank you, Rep. Mazzullo. I'll take a stab if you'll allow. Rep. Bartleman, I believe that language is basically recognizing the right to exclude, meaning you can't come on my property, not you can't look into my property. And if you look at the provision in sub 2 above that, it says that this property rights element has to be consistent with all local law and ordinances. So if you've got an ordinance that says you can't have a fence over 4 feet or your fence can't be masonry, it has to be wood, those would still have to be complied with as a result of this element going in, this model element going into effect.
Okay, good. Then you answered my question. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Any? You're welcome. Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Hunter. Next, we have Philip Suderman. He is from the Americans for Prosperity, and he waves in support. David Cullen from the Sierra Club, he waves in opposition, and that ends public testimony. Members, we're in debate on the strike all and bill as amended. Rep. Hardy, we'll go with you first, and then Rep. Golf Marshall.
Thank you, Chair. I think, obviously, this bill has gone through several iterations over the past several years. I don't find anything objectionable in this iteration of the bill. And I'll go a little bit further and say that based on my experience at the local level, I think that this is actually needed. Before I get to that, there are some issues that folks have expressed some concerns about it, and I just want to, three of them in particular that I just want to address. I think, first of all, people are concerned about the erosion of the growth management legal tradition here in the state of Florida. And, you know, what I'll say is I personally am not concerned about that. My feeling is that for those of you who are concerned about eroding the growth management tradition here, to me, growth management is kind of a bad approach to address the real issue here, right? Growth management focuses on the tail end of the state's growing pains. There are people in other states and in other countries who want to make a decision to move to this state. 1,000 people a day are moving here. Growth management doesn't affect their decision to do what human beings have a right to do, which is to move where they feel they have the best opportunities for themselves and their families. All it does is it addresses the developments that are really the symptoms of the decision that they're making. People are moving here, therefore people build stuff for these folks to live in, for these folks to shop at, eat at, so on and so forth. Growth management was focused on the last part because you couldn't focus on the first part. And to the extent that you would want to manage growth, it seems to be a clumsy way to do it by focusing on the latter end of that, right? And so, you know, to me, I've seen local governments in my own community basically use their LDRs to basically say, no more here. We don't want any more housing here. We don't want any more commercial uses here. We don't want any more of this, any more of that here. And I think, to me, that's an abuse of local government's power. And I just don't. Stuff like this is needed because of the way that local governments act, frankly. The other thing is there's concern about unfunded mandates on local governments. Basically, you're adding this additional element. It's going to take money, planning, consultants you're going to have to hire, public hearings, so on. Look, local governments have to do things all the time. This is adding one thing to a document that local governments already have to prepare every so often. And I don't think it's unreasonable to ask them to add another additional element. I don't think it's unreasonable to prescribe for them minimum standards for what that element must look like. And that's basically what you're doing here. You can't tell a local government, hey, you need to address property rights in your comp plan, but not really tell them what that means, not really tell them what standards they have to do. And that's what that model language does. I don't really find it objectionable. You know, the last thing here is that it is going to make it more difficult for local governments to plan the other elements of their comp plan. And what I mean by that is, obviously, you got multiple elements. This is one of many. They have to harmonize with the other elements. The other elements have to harmonize with them. Then when the local government enacts its LDRs, you can't have anything that conflicts with this. So if you want to have exclusionary LDRs that tell people what they can't do with their property, you better make sure it's covered in those other elements. Otherwise, you're going to run afoul of this. And I think it just encourages local governments to be thoughtful about how they're dealing with the property owners in their communities. I don't see anything wrong with this. I think it's frankly a good bill, certainly better than what it has been in the past. And I appreciate the representative for bringing it forward. I intend to vote for it in committee. And if it makes it to the floor, I intend to vote for it on the floor. I appreciate the representative for bringing it forward.
Thanks, Rep. Hardy. Rep. Goff-Michelle in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep. McLean. Rep. Hardy almost convinced me to vote for your bill. I'm still down the bill. I really do appreciate that you've made it better from my last committee that heard it. And I haven't had a chance to hear back from all my municipalities and counties, but so far the input I got was they still didn't see the need of it. So I am going to be down on it, but I have an open mind, and I'll keep that in mind when, if it goes to the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Rep. Henson in debate.
Thank you. Do I have this on? Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative McLean, for being so thorough in your explanation. I'm still a community-level person. I've been a city commissioner. And I just believe local decisions empower local communities. I've said that over and over. This appears to be another preemption of home rule. I have no problems with the element being added, but as you know, all of our communities are unique all over the state of Florida, and we need to give flexibility to the different communities about how they move forward with the properties and the way they see their home community developing. And for that reason, I'll be voting down.
Rep. D. Smith in debate, and then Rep. Bartleman.
Thank you, Chair. And I'd just like to take an opportunity to thank the rep for working with me and spending so much time with me as we ran the traps on this, just to ensure that the issue that we saw last year with Senate Bill 410, I learned a tough lesson on how hard it is to get the governor to veto a bill. But because we had some objectionable language to annexation issues that we got into the bill late, we had to get the governor to veto because it potentially created a threat to the rural boundary in Seminole County, one of the few counties that actually has a rural boundary that manages density. And again, I'd just like to thank the rep for taking time with me to go through this, allow me the time to coordinate with my county attorney, with every member of my county commission to ensure that Seminole County had no objections to this bill, and I'm happy to vote up on it today and on the House floor. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Rep. Bartleman, and then Chair Fisher.
Yes, one of my issues was the League of Cities, which you addressed. I still have some issues with the property rights with my cities, but because you worked hard and forwarded that amendment based on concerns, I'm up now, and I want to say thank you for working with the League of Cities. And I appreciate that effort, and thank you very much.
Rep. Fisher, you recognize in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to commend you on the great work on this bill. I've enjoyed working with you over the last couple of years on property development issues. And this bill in particular stands as a testament to your commitment to work with members along the process, not just this year, but last year as well. And so the bill has become better than it was. And so, I always think it's important to highlight when somebody says that they're going to work with you. Stan has actually been working, Representative McLean has actually been working with members of both parties to try to make this bill better as it's gone along. It's a really great bill, and I intend to vote for it today. Thank you for your great work.
Rep. Stevenson, in debate.
Thank you. And because of the extensive discussion and the number of DRIs I have in St. John's County, I think for some communities, they may not see any need for this because they don't have those kind of developments in their community. I think it's a big improvement to put the property rights element in because people from other parts of the country may not understand, you know, all those things and may look, or maybe it's the first time they looked at their development code and they've got a concern, and it makes it more complete, all the elements that are actually being considered by the local government, property rights, the rights of the land developer, the person who wants to develop this piece of land, and the neighboring property owners. They all have property rights. I think that's a good improvement. And we've always had these exchange tables in our even sub-DRI projects. Some of our larger sub-DRI projects have the exchange elements. So congratulations. Hopefully this will be the year that your bill gets across the finish line.
Further debate? Any further debate? All right, I just want to thank you also, Rep. McLean. Whenever you add a variable to any sort of formula, things get a little more complicated. And certainly land development is a complicated issue in and of itself. But as Rep. Hardy said, we need that for our state because we need to consider as many variables that are important as possible as we continue to grow. And adding property rights, I think, is very important because those are the people that actually own the land. So with that, you're welcome to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to say, for me, property rights, individual property rights or property owners is one of the greatest economic drivers for the middle class. For you to have the ability, and the founding fathers of this nation understood this, and that's why they allowed for property rights. And because you as an individual can buy a piece of property, you can hold on to it, you can improve it, you can do a lot of things with it. At the end of the day, if you have the right to be able to sell that piece of property, it usually creates economic wealth for you. And it's one of the greatest drivers for the middle class. It is one of the greatest economic drivers. Most of us buy a house, we hold on to it for a while, it gains value, we sell it. We buy a different house, it gains value, we sell it. And all the time we're generating wealth for our families and for ourselves. And that's why it's so important to me to make sure that we have a property rights element in our comprehensive plan so that local governments, when they're making decisions, they understand that they need to make sure that property rights are protected. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Having closed on this bill, Tori, would you please call the roll?
Representative Zaltman? Bartleman?
Yes. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with my... Yes, I vote yes, Altman.
Yes. Buchanan?
Yes.
Chambliss? Cheney?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Gialombardo?
Yes.
Goff-Marcille?
No.
Hardy?
Yes.
Hinson?
No.
Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Payne?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
C. Smith?
No.
D. Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson? Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Chair Masullo?
Yes.
20 yeas, 3 nays.
Thank you. By your vote, members, show CS for CSHB 59 voted favorably. Congratulations, Rep. McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
All right, members, moving on. The next bill will be HB 7001 by Rep. Garrison. OGSR in the Nurse Licensure Compact. Rep. Garrison, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. HB 7001 would save from automatic repeal the existing public record exemption pursuant to the Open Government Sunshine Review Act for nurses' personal identifying information other than the nurse's name, licensure status, or licensure number, which is held by the DOH or the Board of Nursing, pursuant to the nurse licensure agreement.
The bill also saves from repeal the public meeting exemption for portions of a meeting of the Interstate Commission of Nurse Licensure Compact Administrators, at which matters specifically exempted from disclosure are discussed. This exemption is a precondition for Florida's membership in the Nurse Licensure Compact. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Members, any questions on Rep. Garrison's bill? All right, seeing none, any amendments? No? Any public testimony? Seeing none? All right, members, we're in debate. Any debate on the bill? Rep. Fisher in debate.
Representative Garrison, great presentation. Love the bill. Must have got it from a great chairman. Plan to vote for it today.
Thank you, Chair.
All right. Self-promotion aside, any other debate on the bill? All right. Seeing none, you recognize the close on your bill, Rep.
Wave close, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Having waves close, Tory, please call the roll.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Chambliss? Cheney?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Gilombardo?
Yes.
Goff-Marcil?
Yes.
Hardy?
Yes.
Hinson?
Yes.
Joseph? Yes. McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Overdorff?
Yes, ma'am.
Payne?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
C. Smith?
Yes.
D. Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Chair Masullo?
Yes.
23 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, show HB 7001 reported favorably. Congratulations, Rep. Garrison.
Thank you, Chair.
Welcome. Next up, we have House Memorial 71 by Rep. Wilhite and Prime Co. D. Smith, recognizing vent suicide. Rep. Wilhite, you are recognized. Explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm honored to present this House Memorial with my co-prime, Colonel Smith here. Members, too many times our veterans are going and serving our country, whether it's in CONUS or abroad, and they serve our country faithfully and honorably. They come back, they're discharged, and they just can't integrate back into society. They can't find a place for themselves. The training they had in the military may not be applicable in their personal life here. And they struggle. We found too many veterans that are homeless, hungry, and unfortunately come to the conclusion that the best way to end it is to take their own life. I think that's a terrible thing that's happening in this society, and something that I know each and every one of you hopefully is a terrible thing happening. All this House Memorial does is ask that this body, this honorable body, the Florida representatives of the state of Florida, send to the President of the United States, to the Congress, to fully fund the Veterans Administration when it comes to veteran suicide. And we're just asking that you please support this thought that every veteran needs our help, can have a hand up instead of a hand out. And if the Veterans Administration can fully fund them and put everything in place and give every tool possible to try and help support our veterans, hopefully we can stop this spiral trend that so many of our veterans are taking their own life. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Any questions on the memorial? All right, seeing none, we have no amendments. So we'll go to public testimony. We have Kristen Corcoran from Veterans Affairs. They wave in support. Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming. And that's all that we have in public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Debate on the bill. Any debate? Anybody want to say anything? Rep. Hardy in debate.
Thank you. Representative Wilhite, you're from my home county, and I have known you for the entirety of my time in public service to be a staunch advocate for our first responders. Obviously, that's a part of your professional background, and I've known you also to be an advocate for veterans, and I want to thank you for your leadership on this issue, and I want to thank you as well, Representative, for your leadership on this issue. This is important. Mental health is important. Folks who have served, they need to know that there's going to be support for them from our government, which is really us. And I appreciate you putting this issue on the front burner for the federal government and asking this body to speak with one voice to get some movement on this issue federally. Thank you.
Further debate? Rep. Cheney, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I recently participated in an event in my community that raised money for this, for the suicide prevention of our veterans. And I was talking to one of those gentlemen over there and said that the estimate was 22 vets a day, and he says they've actually gotten it down to 17. So that tells me that programs like this are effective and worth being funded. Thank you for bringing this bill.
Very good. Any further debate? Any further debate? Seeing none, Rep. Wilhot, you're recognized to close on your memorial.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With your indulgence, I'd like Colonel Smith to close.
Colonel Smith, you are recognized, Rep. Smith.
Thank you, Chair. Just to call specific attention, this somewhat is a symbolic measure, but it speaks specifically to the issue that Rep. Cheney just brought up. We've moved from 22 veterans a day down to 17. The VA is making good progress. But it's their job to look out for these veterans. And we need to keep the pressure on as a state that has 67,000 active duty military in our state, the number three populous state for veterans, and probably will be number two ahead of Texas very soon. This is a growing issue. It's a growing population. And it's now is our job as a body to keep pressure on the federal government, who has this responsibility to fund the VA, to staff the VA, to train the VA, to take care of these Florida veterans and veterans around the country. But let's speak with a strong single voice on behalf of Florida veterans. And I'd ask in closing that we pass this today. And I look forward when we can present this, when Rep. Wilhite, who chairs the Veterans Caucus, when we can stand together as a veteran caucus on the House floor and draw greater attention in our state to veterans that are taking their own lives, because it truly is sad. But let's speak with a single voice and do that today. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Having closed on their bill, Tori, will you please call the roll on HM 71?
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Chambliss? Cheney?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Joe Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Hardy?
Yes.
Hinson?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes, and thank you.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Payne?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
C. Smith?
Yes.
D. Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Chair Masullo?
Yes.
23 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, show HM 71 reported favorably. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman, colleagues.
Next up, we have PCS for HB 163 by our own G. Lombardo.
Thank you.
You are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and Committee for the opportunity to present the PCS for HB 163, which is the POW MIA Vietnam Veterans Bracelet Memorial Bill. First, I want to thank the Big Bend chapter, Chapter 96 of the Vietnam Veterans of America. They've actually came to every committee stop showing support for this bill. A lot of folks don't realize that during the Vietnam War, a lot of veterans came back and they got spit on and very disrespected in many ways. And these Vietnam Veterans of America, they kind of assembled together and looked after each other. And we thank you for that. And they continue to do that. So thank you so much. This bill is it creates a Vietnam Veteran Memorial Bracelet, which, if you're not familiar with it, it's a metal bracelet that was kind of put into place in 1970 for the POWs, prisoners of war, and folks that never made it home, and some of those that still didn't make it home. Today, you can actually get them online and wear them, and I know many of us do. So, some of us have them for some of the veterans that we served with overseas that we remember them with. So this bill will actually, it's like an 8-foot-tall size bracelet, and it'll go right across the street from the old Capitol next to the big American flag. And there is no expense to the state on this. They just need to, they have the monument already, and it's just, they just need a place to put it, make it a home. So, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Questions on the bill? All right, seeing none, we have no amendments. public testimony. We have Stephen Nguyen, the Vietnam Veterans of America, Big Bend Chapter 96. He's a proponent. Mr. Nguyen, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Steve Nguyen, and I am the governmental consultant, the Vietnam Veterans of America, Chapter 96, the Big Bend Chapter. I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for hearing the bill today. This is truly an expression of gratitude and remembrance of the POWs and MIAs, those that came back and those that did not come back. Many of you are too young to remember the bracelet. The bracelet was worn by many of us honoring the POWs and the MIAs. The first bracelet I wore was a silver bracelet, and it was for Captain Ronald Bliss. And when the conflict was over, the POWs, MIAs, de-embarked from the airplane in the United States, and each name was mentioned, Sergeant so-and-so, Captain such-and-such, Lieutenant. Then I heard Captain Ronald Bliss, and Captain Bliss was the bracelet I was wearing for over 7 years. He was shot down over Vietnam. When he came back, my dad, then Senate President of the Florida Senate, and I contacted the Department of Defense, and we invited Captain Bliss and his family to South Florida for vacation. He had never seen his son because his wife was 5 months pregnant when he was shot down. They spent 2 great weeks in South Florida, another week in Orlando. I gave him back that silver bracelet. One I wear today is Captain John Barnhart, shot down over Vietnam, North Vietnam, in May 18, 1972. In 1988, his remains were found. He was repatriated to the United States, where he's now buried with honors in his home state of New York. My passion, like many of you, goes deep for those who are currently serving, those who have served this great nation of ours. We're very grateful for Representative G. Lombardo and for Chair for bringing the bill up today. Please remember that there is no cost to the state of Florida. This has been all paid for by the Vietnam Veterans of America, Chapter 96. And the maintenance, the small maintenance that there might be, is also paid by our chapter. Taylor Beal and I would like to thank a few people. I want to thank all the co-sponsors, all those individuals who have served this great country. I must special thanks to a great individual, a country and Western singer, composer, songwriter, very famous individual who stood by us with his unwavering support of this legislation, Billy Dean, one of our panhandle specialists. Melanie and Skip Smelko came up with a brochure that many of you have already from Representative Gio Lombardo. I want to thank them, Melanie and Skip, for that. And of course, Ryan Kimmy, who's worked with us from day one on this issue. Ryan, formerly Director of Governmental Affairs for the Florida Osteopathic Medical Association, and then served for some time within the legislature on the staff. And now, from day one, he is the one who's helped us kind of go through the maze and bring it to fruition. We're grateful for Ryan's participation. And what I'd like to do, Mr. Chairman, with your permission, is to ask Captain James DeVoe to speak next, and our president, Joe West, to wrap it up, if that's okay with you, Mr. Chairman.
That's fine. Thank you very much. We have cards for both of those.
Yes, sir. They are in. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Nguyen. All right. We'll recognize Jim DeVoe who's representing himself. You're recognized.
It's very tough following Steve to give you information that you already haven't had. But once again, I'm Jim Defoe. I was a submariner for 27 years. And this effort here is a result of something that my wife and I saw when we were over in Alabama at the Warren Party. I said, my God, what is that device? We were fascinated with it. We thought about it. We came back home. We said, we want to do something, quickly realizing that my wife and I couldn't do it alone. I'm also a member of Chapter 96 of the Veterans. And so, of course, I went to see Joe West. And from there, we've, among other things, we found that local people would support us. We had to go out of country to get that, out of state to get the bracelet manufactured. It is building. We have it in hiding right now, and it's waiting for a home across the street from us. But anyway, I would like to thank you, members, for again allowing me to come back and say a few more words. Please forgive the way I pronounce this, but Representative Galileo Lombardo, I tried. And of course, the chairman, Representative Dr. Ralph Masula. Thank you for having me back here. Again, I stress, not one dime will be needed from anybody other than our organization. We have enough funds. And I'd ask you to say yes once again to the placement of the memorial. And I'd like to point out that the memorial will be right across the street from you. In some of the windows, you'll be able to see it daily. But anyway, again, thank you so much for having me come and say a few words or two. Please vote yes on 163. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Commander, and thank you again for your service. Joe West, you're recognized. Vietnam Veterans of America, Big Bend, Chapter 96.
I just saw the big kids take their hats off, so I will too. Totally unprepared, I did not realize what HM71 was, and I thank all of you for your support on a problem that has been out of control for the last 10 years. So thank you for your support with that. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, representatives. My name is Joe West. I am a Vietnam veteran, and I'm the president of Vietnam Veterans of America, Big Bend Chapter 96 here in Tallahassee. On behalf of myself and the over 500,000 Vietnam and Vietnam-era veterans that live here in Florida, as well as my fellow veterans that are here today, both out here and up there, to all who came home and to those that never returned from serving our country, I would like to thank Representative Gia Lombardo for sponsoring HB 163 and our many co-sponsors, and the State Affairs Committee for considering HB 163, the POW MIA Memorial, Vietnam Bracelet Memorial. A memorial, unlike most memorials across the state, will require no state funding. Construction, installation, and maintenance is funded entirely by Vietnam Veterans Big Bend Chapter 96. And I would add that just last Thursday night, we signed a 20-year maintenance agreement with a company that will maintain a ceramic coating on it to prevent this from even having water spots. I ask all of you to vote yes so we can have the bracelet placed next to the state of Florida's Vietnam Memorial that sits across from the Capitol. This is a wonderful expression of support to the men and women who served during the Vietnam conflict, and especially to those who never returned. As a side note, I believe Representative Jim Lombardo mentioned the bracelet. I'm wearing one. These bracelets are available. I ask that if you decide to get one, please put your order through the National League of Families. They use all the profits that they get from those bracelet sales to fund missions that go to Vietnam and try to recover the remains of the 1,586 people that are still unaccounted for from the Vietnam War. Thank you again, and please vote yes on HB 163.
Thank you, Mr. West, and thank you for your service. Next, we have Dan Hendrickson from the Tallahassee Veterans Legal Collaborative. Mr. Hendrickson, are you here today? He's a proponent of the bill. Last, we have Taylor Bill. He's Vietnam Veterans of America, Big Bend, Chapter 96, and he waves in support. That ends public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Debate on the bill. Anyone would like to debate the bill? Go ahead, Rep. Joseph, you're recognized.
Actually, Mr. Chair, I had a question for one of the
presenters. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Who would you like to question?
The president, please.
All right. Mr. West, would you mind?
Yes, ma'am.
You're recognized.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Mr. Chair. My question for you is, you mentioned to purchase through the National League of Families. So if someone was so inclined and were Googling it and happened to find it and don't see where to purchase the bracelet but wanted to share it with other people, where would you direct them?
The National League of Families website should have a store. The bracelets that they sell come out of Ohio. If you're looking at your phone and you can't find that on it, I will go back to my phone and find out and give you the answer before I leave today. You're welcome. Anything else? I'm sorry.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. Sir. Appreciate you. All right, members, now we're in debate. Rep. Stevenson in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank the veterans that worked to put this together. I think it's going to be a tremendous asset for the community, and the location really is just very perfect. When I first heard about it, I thought it would be an important addition, but seeing the location and seeing the visual rendition of where it will be, I think it will help connect people to their history and the sacrifice just a little bit more. We have the prisoner of war MIA flag on the top of the Capitol. We have the flag there and the bracelet, and I think that it is a very appropriate place. And I want you thanked us for the bill. I certainly thank the bill sponsor, but we thank you for making that possible. Thank you for your service, and thank you for adding to our history here in Florida.
Thank you. Rep. Woodson in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep. Gia Lombardo. Did I say it right? I made sure that I said it right. For sponsoring such an important bill. And I thank every single one of the veterans here and the audience for your service, for giving us the freedom that we are enjoying in this beautiful United States of America. Mr. Chair, if I may, I would ask every single one of my colleagues to put the National League of Cities on their website and as a little token of our appreciation for the service, for us to promote the bracelet and to ask our friends or contact or constituent to purchase the bracelet. I don't know if that's too much to ask, but that's what I would like to do, to see as a little token of our appreciation.
You've just asked it, Rep. Woodson.
Thank you. Thank you for your service again.
Thank you. Rep. Hinson in debate.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, gentlemen. I have been in every committee that this bill has been in, so I have been on this tour with you. I want to thank you for your service. And I also want you to know that my high school graduating class, I won't tell you how old, but you got a good idea. That was the year Vietnam started. I feel personally committed. My high school graduates, all of my peers, served in Vietnam. Many of them did not return, so I have a personal commitment to what you're doing, and I want to thank you for your service.
Good. Further debate? Any further debate? Rep. McFarland, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Representative Gia Lombardo, for bringing this bill, and I just want to congratulate the gentlemen for still being able to fit in their uniforms.
All right. Seeing no further debate, Rep. Gia Lombardo, you are recognized to close.
Yep, thank you, Chair. Thank you, everybody, for the great words. Thank you guys for coming today. It means a lot to me. As you know, I served in Iraq, I've served in combat, been around the world, still serving in the military. And you guys always have given us great role models to be after. And we are the current military service members today. We do appreciate all that you do and all that you've done. And thank you so much for looking after each other. It's a great example. Thank you. And that is close.
Very good. Having closed on his bill, Tori, please call the roll.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Chambliss? Cheney?
Yes.
Drake? Yes. Fisher? DiLombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Hardy?
Yes.
Yes.
Hinson?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Payne?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
C. Smith?
Yes.
D. Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Chair Masullo?
Yes.
22 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, we will show PCS for 163 reported favorably. Thank you very much and congratulations. Next up, we have HB 217 by Rep. Hentrowski. Rep. Hentrowski, you are recognized to present your bill, Conservation Area Designations.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member. Members, for allowing me to present House Bill 217, Conservation Area Designations, a bill to honor my dear friend, a colleague to many in the Florida House and in Broward County, and my predecessor in District 96, the late Representative Kristen Jacobs, who lost her battle with colon cancer last April. Representative Jacobs was passionate about protecting the environment and built her career on climate and resiliency policy. Her goal was always to make a positive difference. She began as president of her PTA and her homeowners association, and was soon elected to the Broward County Commission, where she served two terms as mayor. Kristen was a leader in addressing climate change. She was instrumental in the development of the Southeast Florida Regional Climate Compact, a partnership between Broward, Miami-Dade, Monroe, and Palm Beach counties to work collaboratively to reduce regional greenhouse gas emissions, implement adaptation strategies, and build climate resilience across Southeast Florida region. That compact was agreed to in 2009, and Kristen was one of the original signers. Kristen was chosen twice by the President of the United States to serve on national task forces dealing with protecting our oceans and climate resiliency. In 2018, Kristen was the prime co-sponsor of the bill that established the Southeast Florida Coral Reef Ecosystem Conservation Area in order to protect the important ecological and economic resource of coral reefs from the St. Lucie Inlet in Martin County past Key West to the Dry Tortugas. Kristen believed in fighting for our environment and the ocean she loved. Even when she was very ill and in the hospital bed during the last months of her life, she worked hard to successfully pass legislation banning the importation of sale of shark fins. The state of Florida is a better, more environmentally focused, and environmentally friendly place because of Kristen Jacobs, her dedicated service, and her leadership in environmental policy. And I can think of no greater way to honor Kristen's legacy than to rename the Southeast Florida Coral Reef Ecosystem Conservation Area as the Kristen Jacobs Coral Reef Ecosystem Conservation Area. Kristen was passionate about the environment and fiercely aware of our duty to protect it. She worked in a bipartisan way to preserve Florida's natural treasures so that the public and future generations would be able to access and enjoy those resources. For all these reasons, I humbly ask you to support House Bill 217. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, any questions? All right, seeing none, we have no amendments. Public testimony. Natalie Fussell. You're recognized. Would you like to speak? You're recognized.
Good afternoon. Natalie Fossell. I'm with Anfield Consulting, and I'm here on behalf of Broward and Palm Beach counties. We waived in support in the other committees, but we wanted to take this opportunity to thank Representative Honchowski, to thank you, Chair Mazzulla, for hearing this, and all of you for the opportunity to honor Representative Kristen Jacobs. This is a fitting tribute to her, the designation in her honor and in her memory. The compact counties, Palm Beach, Broward, Miami-Dade, and Monroe, as well as her many friends from all walks of life, thank you very much and commend this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we have Chloe Siegberger. I might be saying that wrong. Martin County Board of County Commissioners. You're recognized.
You did that really well. Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair, committee members. My name is Chloe Siegberger. I represent the Martin County Board of County Commissioners, and I'm here to formally thank Representative Honchowski for carrying this bill. So Martin County is actually the start of the coral reef, and Representative Jacobs was a huge ally for not only Martin County, but our entire area on the Treasure Coast. So with the start of the coral reef tract, some background, in 2014, the coral reef tract was plagued with an unknown disease that actually is decimating so many corals from us all the way down into the dry tortugas. And I just want to say thank you to you all, because Representative Kristen Jacobs 3 years ago spearheaded an effort where the legislature began appropriating significant funds, not only to the research of this unknown disease, but to the restoration and the rehabilitation of the coral reef. So you all have supported the Department of Environmental Protection, you've supported local communities, and you've supported a lot of non-governmental organizations that are all in this amazing team effort right now, actually trying to save one of Florida's most natural precious resources. And so that's one of the most commendable efforts, and on behalf of my community, I want to say thank you to you all. This bill is one of the greatest ways, I think keeping that momentum going is one of the greatest ways to honor Representative Kristen Jacobs' legacy, and this bill is a great symbol of not just what the state has already done, but what the state will continue to do to save our coral, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming, by the way. Charles Cassini from Broward County, he waves in support. Members, that ends our public testimony. We're in debate. Debate on the bill. Rep. Woodson in debate. And then Rep. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rep. Honchowski, thank you so much for bringing this bill to us. I know how emotional it is for you to stand here and present this bill, as Rep. Jacobs was a very dear friend of yours, whose shoulders you're standing on today. The least we can do is to honor her memory. She has left a positive mark on us. She planted some great seeds. Her legacy will forever live in us. So thank you so much, and I know the strength that you get, some of it came from her as well, because you intend to carry on her legacy. So thank you so much for this bill. And I'm supporting it, and I would encourage my colleague to do the same thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Rep. Smith, you're recognized.
Thank you, Representative Honchowski. This is just a wonderful moment. I think what you're doing is just an incredible testament to our dear friend, Kristen Jacobs, her service. It's a testament of appreciation to her advocacy and appreciation for the coral reef, which she advocated to protect for so many years here in the legislature as a local leader. I feel her presence. I feel it here. And I think that there's just no greater way to honor that advocacy than to let future generations continue to appreciate the natural beauty of Florida, its coral reefs. And we have a job to do in addition to passing this bill, to continue Kristen's legacy by continuing to invest in that natural beauty. So I just want to say thank you. And I want to thank Kristen, because I know she's listening. Thank you.
Thank you, Ranking Member Smith. Rep Hardy in debate.
First off, let me say that everyone is special, but Representative Jacobs was a special kind of special. I say that not as someone who served with her for several years, as many of you have. I say that as someone who could pick up on that, even though I only met Representative Jacobs two times, we're at the climate convention with the association or what have you that she founded. And she was the type of person that within minutes, you could see that this was a special, caring, just a wonderful leader in person. And I just want to thank you because I can only imagine as someone who was a friend of hers and who is now serving in the seat that she served in, I imagine that there are some things you had to grapple with. And there could be no better way to begin your service in this seat by honoring your predecessor, Representative Jacobs. And so thank you. Thank you.
Rep. Bartleman in debate.
Yes, I'd like to thank my colleague, Representative Fanchowski, for sponsoring this bill. I know that this is really difficult because you two had a very, very special relationship. And I know that you've spoke to her and it's your job now to continue her work. And I am so honored to have the opportunity to support you and to support Kristen through this bill. I've been a resident of Broward County, a friend of Kristen's, and she has just had a tremendous impact on the state of Florida, on the lives of future generations, and there is really no better way to honor her and let her live on. And I think she would have loved that it's a coral reef. It just says everything about Kristen. So I just want to thank you so much for bringing this bill forward. And I know this will mean a lot to her family. And I couldn't think of a better way to honor such a tremendous advocate for our environment in the state of Florida. Thank you.
Thank you. Rep. Roth in debate.
Thank you, Chair. This has really been a very special committee meeting today with the veterans and everybody, but I could not resist making a few comments about our good friend, Kristen Jacobs. Thank you, Representative Fanchowski, for bringing this great bill together and really, for me, bringing back some of the feelings that many of us have for Kristen Jacobs. I want to make a couple of quick comments. Bipartisan is a word that we throw around all the time. But to me, Kristen really was bipartisan because she always put her own desires aside and showed real service to others. And the way she approached these environmental issues, it was just natural for people to be drawn to her and wanting to help her do what she did. The shark fin ban bill, which my good friend Toby Overdorf had a great role played in that to amend that, That was legislation that did what Chris and Jacobs wanted it to do, but also help protect the fishermen. And that's the kind of person Chris and Jacobs was. Do no harm, do great things, and do it with a passion that just drew people to her. It was enjoyable being in meetings with her. We had a little South Florida Water Management District Caucus, and you just were looking forward to what Kristen was going to say, because it really brought us all together. Thank you again for this great bill.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. Roth. Rep. Overdorf, in debate.
Man, don't let Roth talk before you. Representative Hinchosky, thank you. Also, thank you for allowing me to primeco this with you and moving forward. And, you know, Kristen had a great impact here, and it's not only related from my experience, but from other members, many of them on here, her and also lobbyists, et cetera, who tell me of just the fantastic bike rides that she used to have. And members would end up a sweaty mess because Kristen would keep going and push them, and it was a great time for everybody to get along and to be a part of that bipartisan side. So thank you for embracing that with me as we put this forward. And it's really fitting that a reef system is named for Kristen now, and stretching and in such a big way. You know, it's a beautiful system. It's mysterious. Like Kristen, it can take a bite out of you if you happen to rub up against it the wrong way, and try to damage it. And it educates so many. And so, thank you very much for bringing this forward. Great idea. I'm very proud to be a part of it. And for those of you that don't know, also the Ocean Conservancy Act for Kristen, they were doing a mural down in Miami, starting that this next month. There was a lot of funds that were raised for that. We can actually double the size of it as a result in the outpouring for Kristen. So thank you again for bringing this forward. I look forward to passing it off the House floor and having the governor sign it into law. Thank you.
Vice Chair Payne, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Hinchosky, as we spoke today, you remind me of our dear friend Kristen Jacobs. I had the opportunity to run some bills with her and knew early on in my career that she was here in the House, that she was a leader. Many of you have known her for many years, but she was, as we've heard today, one that could reach across the aisles and make a significant difference and not necessarily change your mind, but give you some more clarity on an issue that had to do with the environment. She was a wonderful friend. I spoke to her often in the latter part of her life. I used to call her weekly. And I think we've heard today, just from the members, of what impact she's not only had on the House of Representatives and the state of Florida, but her passions will continue to live on in this bill. So thank you for bringing it forward. Members, I ask your all full support. Thank you.
Rep. Manning, in debate.
Yes, again, I have to tell you, thank you. Kristen, I was fortunate enough and blessed to have worked with her for 6 years in the Climate Pact. And, you know, there's no doubt that living in Monroe County, surrounded by state parks and national marine sanctuary, that Kristen, that's what she cared about. She was passionate. And I will speak and to say from Monroe County's, everybody in Monroe County loved Kristen. Everything she did was for the betterment of the whole. She loved her district, she loved her family, she loved her friends, and she loved the state of Florida. And her entire drive was to make our lives and our future lives better, our kids, our grandkids. So may she rest in peace.
Thank you, Rep. Moon. Rep. Altman, in debate.
I just want to say it was an incredible joy, privilege, and honor to have served with Kristen Jacobs. I think the greatest way we can honor her is to continue to fight for the things she cared so dearly about.
Thank you. Members, you've heard me say before, the way we're successful in this process is through our relationships. And for you freshmen that did not have an opportunity to serve with Rep. Jacobs, you are truly unfortunate in that regard. She was an avid environmentalist, and serving a community on the coastal areas of Florida, she taught me a lot about environmental policy. I was fortunate to serve on many committees with her, and though oftentimes we didn't agree on policy, we always came together in thought. And I will tell you that she is a remarkable woman who will be long remembered by this body, an example of what a true legislator should be, a lover of our state and its people. And with that, Rep. Hunshosky, you are recognized to close.
Thank you all for your kind words. As you've heard so many people say, Kristen was fierce in her love of the environment. She worked hard to get things done here in the Florida House, and she loved working with her colleagues and was always there to work across the aisle and find where we could make things better. I humbly ask for your support of this bill, and thank you very much.
You're welcome. Having closed on her bill, Corey, please call the roll.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Gilombardo?
Yes.
Goff-Marcil?
Yes.
Hardy?
Yes.
Hinson?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Payne?
Yes.
Roth?
Thank you. Yes.
C. Smith?
Yes.
D. Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Chair Masullo?
Yes.
24 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, we'll show HB 217 reported favorably. Thank you, and congratulations to you and actually to this entire body for, I think, something that will be memorialized forever in our state from a great woman. Next up, we have HB 169 by Rep. Maggard, and I know you have a tough act to follow there, Rep., but I'll remind you of the time as well, because we're not going to extend our session, and we only have less than 45 minutes. You're recognized to present your bill, Purchase of Commodities and Services by Water Management Districts.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Members. I'm honored to present HB 169, an act relating to purchase of commodities and services by water management districts. HB 169 allows water management districts to expand their purchasing power, which in turn saves the taxpayers' dollars. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Having explained this bill, members, any questions? Any questions? Oh. Seeing none, do we have any amendments? Seeing none, any public testimony? Public testimony on the bill. All right. Members, we are in debate. Debate on Rep. Maggard's bill. Rep. Roth in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And Representative Maggard, I thank you. To me, this bill is special because it was your idea, and it's because of your service in Swift Mud, another water management district, different than my water management district, which is South Florida Water Management District. Huge budgets. It's been struggling for many years to do what it needs to do because of Governor Scott would not allow them to take advantage of the ad valorem increase in taxes. They had to do rollbacks, and this, from my understanding from you, that this could save up to 15% on a lot of purchases for the South Florida Water Management District. Obviously, in your close, I would like to hear a little more maybe about why they were left out or how long they've been left out. I don't know, but this is a great bill, and thank you for bringing forth your idea, sir. I support this bill.
Thank you, sir.
Very good. Further debate. All right. Seeing none. Rep. Maggard, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, sir. To answer Rep. Roth's question, I really don't know why the districts were never put into the purchasing. I don't have that answer. I just know being on the board and not being able to take advantage of buys, to me, was just a waste of taxpayers' dollars, because every dollar, you know, I always looked at it, somebody somewhere wrote us a check. out of their hard-earned money for us to manage it the best we possibly could, and we cannot do it because we just were not in a simple bill. And that's where all this arrived from. So that's it, Rev. Roth. Thank you for the question. And Chair, I close.
Very good. Having closed on his bill, Tory, please call the roll.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
DiLombardo?
Yes.
Goff-Marcil?
Yes.
Hardy?
Yes.
Hinson?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Overdorff?
Yes, ma'am.
Payne?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
C. Smith?
Yes.
D. Smith?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Tiramisulo?
Yes.
24 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, we'll show HB 169 reported favorably. Congratulations, Rep.
Thank you.
Members, this concludes our committee's agenda. As you leave today, make sure you don't linger in the room so they can properly sanitize it. Seeing no further business before our committee, I'd like to thank you all for your attendance and moving this important legislation today to the next level. And I just want to say that without objection, Rep. Drake moves we rise and we are adjourned.